Good morning. I'd like to begin this morning reading a very familiar verse in the 11th chapter of Hebrews. And I'd like to consider with you this morning something that is a very well-known subject. It's been around since the beginning of time. So it's not something that is new to us. I just want to use this verse in Hebrews chapter 11 as a jumping off point. And there's a phrase I will like to focus on as we consider the subject together. Just looking in the middle of the story, but Hebrews 11, verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. The past couple of weeks, as I've walked my dog each day, I've watched them finish a building on the last vacant lot on the ocean in Cape Canaveral. When they finished the building, it was a building with a flat roof, and it didn't really look very appealing. Flat roofs don't have a whole lot to add to a building. And they're going to charge probably at least a one-time charge of $500,000, maybe more, for one of these apartments. And then there's going to be a yearly charge, a maintenance fee. So you wouldn't want to move into a place that only had a flat roof and rather ugly on the outside for that kind of money. So what I've watched in the past couple of weeks is they built a wall. And actually, you don't have to go to Cape Canaveral to see this, because I think they did it right across the street when they built that new building. And the one that they're building now right across the street, you wait until it's finished, and I think you're going to see the same thing. After they finished the building, the real part had a nice flat roof. It was very ugly. They built a wall along the outside of the top of the flat roof. And then they brought in these great big long curved pieces of white stuff. It turns out the white stuff was something like styrofoam. And they got out a glue gun, and they put glue on the back of this white stuff, and they glued it to the top of this wall that they built around this flat roof, so that it looks like somebody spent hours working on some stone, chiseling it out to be molded. And actually, all it is foam that was glued, guaranteed lifetime glue, but or at least until the bill is paid. And then they took a paint that wasn't just paint, it was like it's thicker than paint. And they spread this stuff that looked like paint, only was thicker than paint, over the outside of this foam, and it made it hard. Made it look like concrete. Made it even look like a stone or something that had been chiseled into this very ornate pattern. And yet, really, it's nothing but foam. It's fake. It was supposed to look like something, but it's not. And as I was thinking about this yesterday, they came on the news. Florida in a tank full report. And they talked about a place in Maitland. And they said that if you wanted to go to a tropical paradise, but could only drive for a short tank full of gas, you could go to Maitland. And here is this garden in Maitland that's filled with pretend, well, not real, only 70-year-old Mayan and Incan ruins. Now, the Incas and the Mayans, you know, they were back before Columbus. That was 1492, I think, if I remember the ditty right. And these were just made in the 1930s. But they were replicas of what was in the Mayan ruins. And the man said that if you come and sit in this pretend garden, this tropical paradise, that isn't a tropical paradise really, but it's just a pretend tropical paradise, you'd have all sorts of visions of different kind of architecture. And if you sat there for a few minutes, you would drop your blood pressure by 10 points just being in this pretend tropical paradise. And I can remember back in the 70s when I first went to Disney, walking through the Polynesian village, and I was struck with the same thing. I haven't been to these gardens in Maitland, but I've been to the Polynesian village, and you walk out of this, oh, so hot parking lot, just miles and miles, square miles of concrete at Disney, and it's just, you walk through all that, you get on the monorail, and the monorail stops in the Polynesian village, and you get out, and you walk through the doors, and it's incredible. The place you walk, there's waterfalls, and there's tropical flowers, and there's a pretend lake, and pretend sand. Well, it's real sand and real flowers, but they were never there to begin with. It's all make-believe. You're not in paradise. When I was a boy, I remember a big thing was what they would call costume jewelry. They don't call it costume jewelry anymore. But people would make fun of people who wore costume jewelry back then. It was so big and so expensive, it had to be fake. It really wasn't what it was supposed to be. It might look like a pearl. It might look like a diamond. But it wasn't a diamond. It wasn't a pearl. It wasn't an emerald. It was just a piece of cut glass. And I still remember how we were struck with those news programs that would take you behind the scenes in Hollywood. And you used to watch Gunsmoke and Bonanza and the Virginian, and it looked so real. And then they would take you on these programs, and all it was the front of the buildings. There wasn't a town. It was a Hollywood set. It was all pretend. If you have trouble thinking back to what those Hollywood sets look like, when you leave here today, don't go out to Route 1 and north or south. But if you were to go out to the Route 1 and go north, you would pass right in the parking lot. You can see a gas station over this way. And on the other side of the gas station is a strip mall. And when I used to come to meeting every Sunday, boy, it looked like what my mother would call a dive. She used to say, don't go in those places. And that's what that strip mall used to look like. And now, it looks, if you come down past that strip mall now, it looks like it was just put up about a month ago. Because what they did was they came in and they put a new face on it. But if you were to instead go out to A1A today, go right when you come out the parking lot, and then go along this side street right here, this very side street right here, you'd go along behind the back of that brand new strip mall.
see the same old trashy building that had been there before the facelift.
You see, this has been going on since the Garden of Eden. This isn't new. And that's what I want to consider with you today. Facades. Fake, false, worthless fronts. Turn, if you would, back to Genesis. Genesis chapter 3. Well, no, let's go Genesis chapter 2 first. Genesis chapter 2, please. In verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. And the generations of the heavens and of the earth, when they were created in the day that Jehovah God made the earth and the heavens, every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. For Jehovah God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And Jehovah God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a little living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. And there he put the man which he had formed. Out of the ground made the Lord to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight, good for food, and the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Verse 15. And Jehovah God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And Jehovah God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for the day thou eatest of it, thereof thou shalt surely die. Now chapter 3 and verse 1. Now, when the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which Jehovah God had made, and he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. This is when it started. You see, there was a real garden. and there were real trees, and there were real animals, and there were real, it was a real paradise. And Satan, being more subtle than any other beast of the field, came to Eve and said, what was it God said? And since that day, there has been a battle going on. We see on the news, on televisions, battles in different parts of the world. Wars going on, uprisings, violence. We hear about those things. But this battle is going on right here. It's going on in every neighborhood, in every country, in every individual life that has ever been lived since this time. It's an old, old battle. And the battle is this: who is telling the truth? Is God telling the truth? Or is Satan telling the truth? Satan and God have been battling over the souls of men for almost 6,000 years. They have been fighting, and it's man who is the battlefield, and it is man who is the prize. The battle is to get men to believe either God is telling the truth or Satan is telling the truth. Because God said to Eve and Adam, if you eat of that tree, you will die. And the serpent says, you won't die. Where's Eve today? You wouldn't think it was much of a battle, would you? I mean, after we saw those westerns, and even after we saw the fake storefronts and the facades that had been put up, even after I've seen that wall completed on that building, and I know that it's foam that's sitting up there on the top of that wall, just covered with paint and concrete, it still looks real. And I can remember watching Gunsmoke and thinking that people really got shot. It looked real. So real that, you know, it'd be hard for me to tell when the Vietnam War came along and they started having reporters out on the battlefield like never before, and television and videotape, and they would send back the videotape of the wars, and you would see people getting killed in Vietnam. Actually, it wouldn't look much different than television. Television, you knew, because next week you saw the man again, that it had to be fake. But it sure looked real. What's real and what's a lie? Remember what we began with. Moses chose not to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, king of Egypt, land of pleasure. And he chose not to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. You see, that's the thing that sin offers. Sin offers pleasure. Sin offers something that looks real, but it's not real and it doesn't last. That was the problem with what Egypt had to offer. It was just like that garden in Maitland that they just had on the news yesterday. Sit here for a few minutes and your blood pressure drops 10%, 10 points. Ah, wonderful. But then you got to go home to the real world. And that strip mall, it looks so beautiful from the front. Oh, it must be brand new. Don't go down that street. Because you'll see that mall for what it really is. You see,
the pleasures of sin look so good on the outside.
And man has been trying to discern between what is right and what is wrong since the beginning of human history. God says, don't. Satan says, come on. How are you ever going to have a good time if you don't? God says, do. Satan says, oh, so much bondage, so much weight. You don't have to do just because God says do. And man has to decide, and man's decision determines who wins the battle or doesn't. You see, Moses knew that Egypt's pleasure was but for a moment. And the reason is, well, there was a man I met from Denver. Turned out to be a very famous man, I guess. But when I met him, I didn't know he was famous. I didn't know he was famous until I started hearing other people say what he said. He used to tell me on occasion, oh, don't worry. Sunday's coming. Payday's coming. One day, payday is coming. What did he mean by that? What did he mean that one day payday was coming? Well, there are good things and bad things that can be taken from that statement. Payday for the believer is going to be a good day. The judgment seat of Christ, when rewards are giving out to those, every man, though, is going to be rewarded for deeds done in the body, whether good or bad. I know a man who has two sons, and one son did something that was very wrong, and the other son had something done to him that was very wrong. And the father said, I want justice for my little boy. And I got to thinking, knowing both sons, which little boy he was talking about. Which boy did he want justice for? Turn to Romans. Romans is a good book when it comes to justice. Justice is one of those things that Satan would tell you lies about. We don't live in a world that really knows justice. If people knew what justice really was, people wouldn't ask for justice. Justice, some people like to define it, this, you know, Romans is occupied with justification, the justification of a believer. And they say, well, now for the believer, it's just as if I hadn't sinned. And I don't know, that may make it easy to understand it. I think it's very misleading, though. Because God never sees us just as if we never sinned. God sees us as new creations in Christ Jesus. Born again, not made right after, not patched up like the front of that building with a fake front, you see, not all dressed up in your Sunday best when Saturday you were a miserable wreck. That's not what justification is as far as God is concerned. God always knows what it cost him to make it possible for us to appear without sin because we appear in Jesus Christ. Nicodemus had the struggle. What do you mean born again? Should I enter again into my mother's womb a second time? You see, God never went back on his word when he said, "Thou shalt surely die." Eve's not here today, is she? Nobody even knows where she was buried. Or Adam, for that matter. Or Seth, or Cain, or Abel, or Noah. They did die, didn't they? Even Enoch. Even Methuselah. Almost 1,000 years old. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine living 10 times more than what you are already? And yet, he's been dead longer than he's been alive. You see, payday is this, as far as God is concerned. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. For the wages of sin, the wages, the pay, the just reward, the just compensation for works done. This isn't a gift. This isn't something that I was given because out of the goodness of somebody else's heart. This isn't a birthday present that somebody happens to hand me because it just happens to be the right day on the calendar. That's not what we're talking about here. We're not talking about anything that was given to us that we didn't deserve. This is talking about compensation. That's what wages are. Salary. You don't earn wages unless you work. At least that's the way it was supposed to be before government jobs came along anyway. Or some government jobs, right? If you worked, then you ate. If you worked, then you got paid. If you didn't work, you didn't get paid. Because salary, wages, are for things you have done. Wages of sin is death. The pleasures of sin are for seasons. Death comes. You see, you can go down A1A or go up A1A from here and see that fancy front on the new building. Or you can look on that old building. You can look across the street and you can see the new building. It's got a flat roof, but from a distance it looks like it's got this real fancy roof. Lots of gables and a lot of hard work and everything else that went into it. And all of this is foam that was glued on to the outside of a concrete wall and then covered with something a little thicker than paint. And I got a sneaking suspicion that it's not going to outlast the person who made it. The wages of sin is death. Now, what's the truth? Is it Satan? Thou shalt not surely die. He knows you're just going to be like him. You're going to be like a god. If you take and eat of that tree, you're going to have a knowledge of what's right and wrong. And Satan told the truth, didn't he? Because Eve knew as soon as she ate it. Done wrong. But Satan didn't tell all the truth. Satan just, it's so subtle. So slight the change between the facade and the real thing. It's just a fake front. Satan's lie is nothing more
than that storefront in the mall. But if you went up the back road, you'd see nothing but broken down air conditioners and falling apart walls. The concrete, the stucco's falling off the brick. No paint. No good looks from the backside. The pleasures of sin. Sin has pleasure. The difference between sin's pleasure, God's pleasure, or that sin's pleasures are but for a season. I've got a sneaking suspicion that if you went over to that garden in Maitland with the fake ruins of Inca culture and Mayan culture, and you sat there for a while and your blood pressure dropped 10 points, just like the man said, chances are when you left, came back out to the real world, found out somebody stole your car while you were in there visiting the gardens, or you got mugged on the way to the automobile. Whatever it was that happens when you leave that ruin, your blood pressure is going to go up more than 10% that it, 10 points that it came down. Because the reality of life is death. You see, I want justice. I'm going to get justice. But God's justice is the wages of sin is death. Well, wait a minute, maybe I don't want justice. The gift of God. Now, this is something that is not earned. You see, God's justification of me is not because he is just pretending that what's there is not really as bad as it looks, or what's there never did sin to begin with. No, he could never make right the wrongs I have done. The wages of sin is death. But what did God, the Lord Jesus tell Nicodemus? You've got to be born from above. You don't enter into the womb a second time, Nicodemus. Come on. That was even a stupid question. It starts out from not being born of flesh and blood, but being born from above. It's being born again. It's starting completely over. We are new creations in Christ Jesus. That's where our justification comes from. How did God do it? Did he just put a facade on the front? Did he just make us like costume jewelry? You know, we're just nothing more than cut glass. And we look like we're valuable when we're really not. And if you go in through past the front door and you slam it too hard, you remember the old comedy show? The whole front of the building fell down? That's sin and its facades. The soul that sinneth, it must die. Eve didn't die right away, though, did she? Was God telling the truth? Or was Satan telling the truth? You won't surely die. Oh, wait a minute. She surely did die, didn't she? Not immediately. God never said immediately. She did die, though. And she also knew immediately that she had done wrong. Egypt has its sinful pleasures. Pleasures that are enjoyable. They might even lower your blood pressure 10 points. For a season. And the soul that sinneth, it must die. Well, does that mean then that
Were you going to die? Well, not spiritually, are we? Because when we were alive, before we accepted God's promise, God's word, God's truth, before we accepted that, we were already spiritually dead. And we would have died physically, but spiritually, we were already dead. Now, with the gift of God, from God, the gift of eternal life, we are spiritually alive. We will never be separated from His presence. How can that be? Well, chapter 5 of Romans tells us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God commended His love, His own love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Verse 20 says, moreover, the law entered. What was the law? Moses' law? God's law. What was God's law? The soul that sinneth, it must die. The wages of sin must be paid. Payday is coming. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Who is telling the truth? You can't believe Satan and believe God. It's impossible. We've got the thing that really concerns me today is we are told that we as believers have to be careful because we can't really be certain that we know the truth. And yet it was the Lord Jesus who said that the truth itself shall set thee free. Oh, but truth divides. Well, it may. It divides the living from the dead anyway, doesn't it? Because the Lord Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Who's telling the truth? Satan or God? Who is winning the battle in your mind? Who do you believe? Who do you really believe? Moses had faith that the pleasures of Egypt were for a season. What do you believe? It's not hard, is it, to look around and see the reality of the pleasures of sin? They show you advertisements on television about how much good time you can have if you drink this beer. They never show you the end results, do they? Have you ever seen an advertisement for a beer that is shot down on Lafayette Street and Lower Manhattan, where people sleep on the streets and have no home? They use cardboard boxes to cover themselves, not because of poverty, but because every penny they have goes for alcohol. Have you ever seen a commercial for alcohol shot down there in the Bowery in New York City? Who is telling the truth? Are the good times dependent on the beer you drink? Or in the God you know? The wages of sin are death. Thou shalt not surely die. Who do you believe? Elijah said to the children of Israel, Joshua said to the children of Israel, Choose today. Today's the only day you get to choose, because you might not have tomorrow. What's Satan say? Satan says, well, you better get your life insurance paid up. And you better make sure that your annuity fund is right. And you want to be diversified in your retirement fund, because what might happen is WorldCom might find out, you might find out that WorldCom is nothing more than a facade. Or that Enron is a paper shell. So you want to be diversified, or else you're not going to be able to enjoy tomorrow. What does God say? Foolish man, how knowest you'll even be here tomorrow? Tonight your soul's required of thee, and it doesn't matter what's going to be in your barns, because the wages of sin is death, and payday's coming. Who's telling the truth? Is it Satan, or is it God? Do you believe God? Do you believe God? Do you really believe God? Today is the day. It's the only day you have. You don't have tomorrow if you believe God. Tonight your soul might be required of thee, and then it doesn't matter what's in your barn, because this is nothing more than itself a facade. This doesn't even look like what it's going to look like one day. This isn't even made out of what it's going to be made out of one day. This is just what you call temporary housing. Because one day when I see him as he is, I will be like him. Why? Because I believe him. And he's the one that said it. This old tabernacle is going to go the way of those old storefronts. They're just going to fall flat on their face. Or that old foam sitting on the top of that building in a strong wind. It's glue or no glue, it's going to disintegrate. God does not lie. You and I can know the truth. It's not a matter of being right or wrong. The Spirit of God is never wrong. He witnesses to the fact that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Choose ye today whom ye will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, because he is faithful. Oh, that we might hold on to truth in a day when everything else around us is turning out to be nothing more than fancy facades on empty buildings, on old, corruptible, decaying buildings. Everything else is but a facade. God's word stands fast. The wages of sin are death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Oh, that we would live in light of the fact that the pleasures of sin are but for a season. And it is far better to esteem the reproach of Christ as greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For Moses had respect unto the recompense of the reward. What reward do you want? Do you want justice? Do you want justice? You can have it. One day God is going to dispense justice. And in that day, heaven and the earth are going to flee from his face. Do you really want justice? Be careful what you ask for. Do you want justice? Or do you want grace? Do you want to say, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Son of God, bore my sins in his own body on the tree? He bore the penalty I so rightly deserved. Oh, that's what I want. If I want his justice, his justice turned the heavens black from noon to 3 p.m. while his only son bore my sin in his own body on that tree. Now I have in him the gift of eternal life. That's what I want. Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. May it be so for his name's sake. Father, we thank thee for the truth of thy word. We realize that we are born in sin. In iniquity we were conceived. But Father, as sinners saved by grace, we can come to thee and call thee our Father, our eternal heavenly Father, because the Lord Jesus bore our sins in his own body on a tree. The old self has been crucified. We are new creations in Christ Jesus. Oh, Father, we thank thee for the grace that drew salvation's plan, for the love that brought it back down to man, for the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. We thank thee for thy Son, for all that he has done for us.